Okay, so previously we looked at the first three Beatitudes, those who are blessed, that is the poor in spirit, verse 3, those who mourn, verse 4, and the meek, verse 5, and this morning we come to Beatitude number 4, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. These first four Beatitudes tell us in one way or another of our utter dependence on God, our position of being poor in spirit, realizing that before God I don't have what it takes. Mourning because of our sin that separates us from God. Meek in knowing that we have no defense before God. And here now we have our desire for righteousness, just as much as two essentials for life, food and drink. What is righteousness, or what is being righteous? This word is used many, many times throughout the Bible. It is about a relationship and it is about a lifestyle. Righteousness means being right with God. In Romans 1:17 we read, In the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That last sentence is a quote from Habakkuk in the Old Testament. So firstly, righteousness is a relationship between God and man. God makes you right with him, not the other way around. This is something God does for you. The gospel says done, not do. Jesus has taken our place. We don't have to work for salvation. We trust in Christ and his finished work on the cross for our salvation. Become a child of God through faith in Jesus. This is what they call justification. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the starting point. So firstly, righteousness is a relationship between God and man. Secondly, righteousness is a lifestyle. It means right living as God intends. We are made by God and we are made for God. Our lifestyle aim is to become more and more Christ-like. We won't reach God's standard until we meet him in glory. But as we live our lives for Christ, we are to hunger and to thirst for righteousness. God's work with us isn't finished when we become a Christian and are put in a right relationship with him. That is where it starts, but not where it ends. We start doing things to please him, the right things, the righteous things. That's what sanctification is all about, becoming more like Christ. Ian Dughead says in his commentary on the Beatitudes, Jesus is saying that the Christian attitude is to be that righteousness is essential, just as essential as our physical need for food and drink. Jesus is calling us to get fanatical about righteousness. I wonder how many of us here have been really seriously hungry or seriously thirsty. So hungry or thirsty that we don't know where our next meal is coming from or where we can find our next drink. I wonder. I don't think any of us here have ever experienced that actual feeling. Oh yes, we've been hungry and we come up with things like, I'm starving, you know, or I'm famished. But are we really? Oh, I'm so thirsty, my mouth is so dry, I'm parched. These are two powerful basic essentials of life that keep us alive. We need food and we need drink continually, hunger and thirst. And yet here the Lord Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst, as we said, are two fundamental physical needs. These are the words Jesus uses to show how much we should desire the righteousness of God. What are the signs of hunger? Well, firstly, hunger is a sign of need. If we're hungry, there's an absence of food. We haven't had food, we need food. Hunger is a sign of need. Secondly, hunger is a sign of life. We don't need to be taught to be hungry, do we? As little babies, we cried out when we were hungry. We didn't need to be taught to be hungry. And thirdly, hunger is a sign of health. When someone is unwell, they often lose their appetite, and then as they recover, their appetite returns, and they develop a healthy appetite again. We are to hunger after righteousness. Now, let's be clear from the outset that the Lord is not suggesting that people can make a strong effort and achieve God's perfect standard of righteousness for themselves. That righteousness is a given righteousness, not an achieved righteousness. The blessed do not earn it, but they are to hunger and thirst for it. It is a lifestyle God wants us to live that pleases him. The Christian doesn't live their life just any old way. Oh, I'm a Christian now, I can just live as I like. They live for righteousness. They strive to be like Jesus. And the promises that they will be filled, or as another version says, they will be satisfied, which means that God will fill them. Who will satisfy them? He will satisfy them. Further on in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, we have that well-known verse, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Whose kingdom? His. Whose righteousness? His. The Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. And what things will be given to you as well? The things that you worry about, your life, what you eat or drink, your body, or what you will wear. No, first we need to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. When we are part of God's family as believers, we are expected to live in full accordance with the will of God, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this righteousness is not something that we can produce ourselves. It is his righteousness that we seek. We need to have that longing for righteousness, and he will fill us. He will satisfy us. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught in Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What is God's will? God's will is righteousness. Like things were before the fall in the Garden of Eden, like things are now in heaven, and like things will be in the new heaven and the new earth. No sin, but righteousness, just as God intended it to be. When we look at the Old Testament, we see right back at the beginning that along with Adam and Eve, we were intended to be God's friends and to have a close relationship with him. But they rebelled against God. Instead of choosing righteousness, they chose sin. Instead of listening to and obeying God's voice, they listened to the serpent's voice and chose to follow him. They chose to rebel rather than obey, which resulted in a broken relationship with God. And ever since then, people have been doing the same thing, going their own way instead of God's way, rebellion instead of righteousness. In the Old Testament, righteousness is associated with God's covenant. God is faithful to his covenant with his people, Israel. God always fulfills his promises. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 51, verse 1, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord." Yes, there were people in the Old Testament who pursued righteousness and seeked the Lord. He says, "My righteousness will last forever." In the Old Testament, God had his people who pursued righteousness and seeked the Lord, even though many rebelled and let him down. And this leads us to Isaiah 53, then, where it speaks of the Messiah, the suffering servant. In Isaiah 53:11, he says, "After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities." Jesus provides the righteousness for us by his substitutionary death on the cross. In Corinthians 5:21, Paul writes, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." From the moment we turn and put our faith and trust in Jesus, we've recognized we are poor in spirit, we've mourned our sinful state, and we've come in meekness with no excuses. Our defense, we should have this desire, this longing for righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Not a vague interest or as an optional extra, but a hunger and thirst which speak of an intense desire that motivates action. It was a passion to pursue righteousness. One Scottish believer is said to have cried out, "O God, make me just as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. Oh God, make me just as holy as a pardoned sinner can be." And that should be our desire, to be holy, to be righteous. In Psalm 42, the psalmist puts it like this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God." And in Psalm 63, David has the same longing. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." The Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life, writes in Philippians 3:8-11, after going through the things he previously held dear to him and trusted in, his race and his religion and his respectability, and he sums it all up, counting it all rubbish. He writes in verse 8 onwards, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that with which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Paul wanted to know Christ and become more like Christ. Are you upset by sin? Does your sinful nature distress you? As you look around you, are you saddened by the sinful state of our world around us? Sin is serious. Sin upsets God. Do we desire to be like the Lord Jesus? Do we have a desire for godliness, for righteousness? Everyone searches for satisfaction. I know if you heard of a band called the Rolling Stones, they had a song back in the 60s that talked about that. I can't get no satisfaction. A double negative. And yet people all around us crave satisfaction. We all search for it. But the great question is, where can we find it? Where can we find true satisfaction? What do you think will satisfy you? It will become your consuming passion. It could be an achievement or a leisure activity, a career to be loved or to be loved, to be appreciated, to get revenge, power, fame, fortune. But only one thing, Jesus says here, will truly give you satisfaction. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for this one thing, for righteousness, for they will be filled, they will be satisfied. Think about this. Jesus didn't say, we are righteous if we hunger and thirst to be blessed. No, that's the wrong way around. He said, we are blessed if we hunger and thirst for righteousness. See how easy it is to get the thing back to front. Is this what I'm really after? Is this what I want from God? Do I have a passion for righteousness? Hunger after, thirst after, long for, strive for righteousness. Those who are in Christ long for, hunger and thirst for righteousness. The momentum of hunger and thirst, moving them forward in an active pursuit of living faith and obedience to the Lord Jesus. This morning, as we look at this fourth beatitude, we need to ask the question, is this you? Is this me? Are you a person who feels this need of righteousness? Has God awakened a desire, a longing in your heart to be holy, to be like Jesus? Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? What is the promise from our Lord and Savior in the second part? For they will be filled. Or another translation, for they will be satisfied. A quote from Isaiah 49:10, which is in Revelation chapter 7. John writes, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. And 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, it is because of him, that is God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. The holiness that has begun in your life, through faith in Christ, will be brought to completion and perfection and glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And we will sin no more. As Paul writes in Philippians 1 verse 6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. But in the meantime, what are we to do as believers? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Keep on hungering, keep on thirsting for righteousness, for you will be filled. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your plan of salvation, for your grace and mercy demonstrated for us on the cross by our Savior. Help us as your children to hunger and thirst for you, and then we will be satisfied. Help us to hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Help us to live to please you as the one we love and serve. We pray for any here this morning who have not committed their life to the Lord. We pray that even this very day they will trust in Christ and have peace with God. As we head into another new week, Go with us, dear Lord, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We just take our books and sing closing song number 37. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you.